I am Plato on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A marvelous documentary that screens this week at the Vancouver International Film Festival is called Chi. It chronicles the beloved Canadian actress Bab Shula's trip to Kerala, India to seek cancer treatment at an Ayurvedic clinic. She had been battling cancer for a number of years when she and filmmaker Ann Wheeler go to India in 2010. This film is a moving, instructive, inspiring, and heart-rending look at Shula's final weeks. It's brutally honest and a much-needed reflection on life, love, and death. The acclaimed director Ann Wheeler joins me now. She directed this film, and I'll ask her about this trip chronicling Shula's final days and more. She is an award-winning film and television writer, director, and producer who's won countless awards and was named an Officer of the Order of Canada in 1995. Chi screens at the Film Festival Thursday, the 3rd of October at 6:45 at SFU Woodwards, and Sunday, the 6th of October at 1:20 p.m. at Tinseltown. Visit annwheeler.com for more information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Ann Wheeler. Ms. Wheeler, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us.
Very pleased to be here.
As I told you before we started, I just love this movie. It moved me so. I guess you had to know making the movie that. Well, I don't know. While you were on this trip and stuff, did you know you had a film here like this?
Well, it was one of those films where we don't get to make these kinds of films anymore because most funders want to know what the film is going to be like and how it's going to end, and they want you to write a proposal which is more like a screenplay. And so it was hard to raise money because I really didn't know where it would go. I knew that Babs was a fighter. I knew whatever she said and did would be interesting to watch because she was anything but passive.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been like a... It could have been a miracle cure film, and it could go other places. We never talked about where it might go. It was just it was like a road movie. We were going to take it as it came.
And whose idea was it to not to go to India, but to film all of this?
Well, it was really serendipity. We kind of connected with the idea that we both wanted to go to India. I promised myself to go back to Kerala, where I visited after making Bye Bye Blues, and it had a fabulous experience. And she asked me about India, and I said that, well, there was one place I really wanted to go back, and that happened to be exactly the place that she wanted to go. And we kind of looked at each other, and it was almost an immediate agreement that we would go together, and within seconds, you know, she and I both said, well, maybe we could film it, and we both just got spontaneously excited by the idea that we could share this with people, because I think that was really her agenda for the last years of her treatment in cancer. She tried everything, and she had an open website where she shared what she experienced trying everything from, you know, acupuncture to different new kinds of insulin chemotherapy, and so that was really her agenda, was to share what she learned through trying things that Western doctors often were not keen on her trying.
Do you think she knew that this was the last act?
I'm sure that it crossed her mind. She didn't want to dwell on that. I think she was really a big believer on positive thinking. And I remember even in India in the dark of the night asking her if she'd ever contemplated the idea that she might die in India. And she didn't want to talk about it. She didn't want to go there. That was sort of off limits until of course, we came home and we realized that her disease, her cancer, had moved ahead.
Now, as part of your filming, she wanted to have a sort of video diary where she talked to the camera by herself. You weren't in the room. I guess you'd set up the camera and then leave the room, right?
Well, yes, because she, you know, she's a performer, and we'd worked together as a director and an actor. I felt like sometimes when the camera went on, of course, she projected that sort of bright side of life and her humor, which is wonderful to watch. But I hope that, you know, being alone, because I saw her typing emails to her family, and I knew there was another layer of psychology going on while she was there, that she you know, it was different than what I was getting on camera. So I asked her if she'd be willing to do this, and she immediately embraced it. And we had huge technical problems in India. In fact, we had such huge power surges that all of our hard drives froze. So I actually did not see her video diaries until long after we got home from India, actually 4 or 5 months afterwards. I didn't even know if we were going to get them. I didn't know what we were going to get from India because everything was locked in and it took months and months of retrieval.
And there is some wonderful stuff on there, right?
These diaries. Fabulous stuff. It's completely different from what she, you know, projected when she was with the doctors there or even with myself. It was a different tone altogether. It was very intimate. It was sort of she was sharing with her public. She was sharing with her fans. She was sharing with her family what was really going on in her mind.
How much of the footage shot in India, whether it was these diaries or the other footage that's in the film, had she seen? Did she see any of it?
No. Like I say, I'm afraid we didn't see it for many, many months after we got home from India. So she never saw anything from India other than a few stills that we took. We all wanted to see it, but it wasn't there to see for a long time.
And then when she comes back, she finds out that this is it, that she was dying. When did you have the discussion with her about filming that right up to the end, or even beyond the end?
Well, you know, it was assumed because she wanted me to go to all the doctor's appointments with her. It wasn't sort of like, you know, later when she got sicker, she whispered to me, "Would I be there to the end?" And I said, "I would be." But it was assumed before that her family would phone me if they thought anything was changing, or if they were going to do something, they thought that I should be there. I live out of the city in White Rock, so it usually would take, you know, an hour plus to get into her place. And I would, my partner would set up the camera and everything ready for me to go. You know, it would be all downloaded, and I'd be ready to go in a moment. And I went probably 3 or 4 times a week for several months.
Well, what is the experience of seeing someone dying as you did? Does that change any perceptions or ideas you have about death yourself?
I think it makes an enormous difference. I mean, the fact that we hide this last act from our lives in the way we used to hide giving birth, and we can see in the last 25 years, 35 years, how opening the experience of birth up to fathers and friends and sisters, and that people now attend birthing sessions, and it changes their whole relationship often with their own child. It's the same sort of, I think, revolutionary experience that it's demystified, and it's something that is not so frightening, and I think it also has a huge impact on just how you view your life today, because this isn't something you can put off. You know, the Buddhists say that when you wake up in the morning, there's a bird on your shoulder and whispering in your ear, and it's saying, you know, is this the day you'll die? And if you live your life like that, it makes a huge difference to how precious your life might be. And I think that's the whole message of the film, is that there is a bird on your shoulder. In this particular instance, her name is Babs, and she's maybe asking the question to the viewers: are you ready?
And I mean, and what's wonderful about the movie is that she asks that question, but she's also has a human reaction that I think everyone has, that, you know, they're afraid.
Yes.
Of what's beyond.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everyone is. That's why we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too frightening. She's, you know, this is not a film about a movie star or an actor or a biopic. She could be anyone with dear friends and family who love her And we talked about that, what kind of film. There isn't, you know, a huge section in the film where we review her career and exalt her. She really wanted it to be intimate, and I think it's that.
You learned from some of your previous visits to India from a teacher that death ought to be faced head on with your eyes open, as it was the most important moment in one's life. She knew that.
Yeah, we had a lot in common in terms of living parallel lives. We'd both been rock and roll singers, and we'd both dabbled in Eastern philosophy in different ways. I had gone to India in the 70s and had ended up in an ashram and wearing orange robes for some time, and devoting a fair amount of my life to philosophical thought. And she was the same. We had tasted, I guess, the same mixture of East-West interaction, and felt fairly similarly about a lot of things. We didn't actually know each other very well before we went to India, but we had lots of time in India to have these long talks that in this society are not so prevalent anymore. Everybody is in a rush, but we got to sit and talk and think and review our lives and what we'd learned from them.
You'd only worked together a couple times, right?
We did an episode of a series that she was the lead in called These Arms of Mine, and she had actually won a Gemini for her performance in that particular episode. So we knew we worked well together. And then we'd worked a second time on a show that was called Living Out Loud that I had done for Hallmark. It was a Mother's Day special. And it was about a mother who had breast cancer, and she played a role for me. I was hesitant to ask her because it was a role of an older woman who also had breast cancer and was quite philosophical. And I knew she was the right person for the role, but I was hesitant because I knew she was going through a very bad period. But she mustered the energy, and I must say she came to the set with all sorts of ideas and expanded the role and really made it her own in terms of passing along how she felt about a life and about living with this disease. And so that was our big connection, I think, was that second film. We had to, you know, schedule everything around her because she didn't have the energy to do full days, but it was worth it. And the producers and I and the other actors were very moved by her efforts.
Now, looking back at the movie and looking back at this journey, because it's recorded on film and the sort, are there any regrets on your part, or perhaps on her part, if she had the chance to look at it? I mean, would she have taken the course that she took?
I don't think she had any regrets. She certainly has said a number of times, I don't have any regrets. I know I had talked with her children as well, whether they had regrets that she'd gone, if they thought this had been a detrimental. But I think on another level, first of all, Ayurvedic is a much misunderstood leg of medicine, which is just now being explored. It was really an approach to medicine that we didn't hear much about because while the British were in charge of India, it was really went underground. And I think it's a powerful alternative, but I think really just the time away and to sit and rest, I think psychologically, emotionally, prepared her for what she faced when she got back to Canada. And she said that many, many times. That's she at times of reflection, she would go back to our journey in India and get re-embrace the perspective that she had gained there, and it calmed her, and it was the right thing to do.
And you obviously think about your own experience there as well, right?
Well, yes, myself and my two, my tiny crew that came with us of two, we all took Ayurvedic treatments, and we all had very positive results from our you know, we took them for 3 weeks. She was on a 6 week treatment, a much more powerful treatment than us, but of course she had a hard time beginning it because she was so weak. But the three of us, you know, I have arthritis. It really had an impact on that. My partner had a huge improvement in his sight from having his eyes cleaned. And so there, you know, there are elements of Ayurvedic that I'm still very curious about. I might go on to do further work in that. But it's also just a whole approach to life and health and taking care of your body that I think has spawned a lot of interest recently. And Kerala, in particular, the southwest corner of India, it's become a huge, almost tourist attraction because these spas are popping up all over the place, and many of them are very, very, you know, modern and glitzy. But what we went to was in the woods and you know, off the main roads into the countryside to visit a man whose lineage to Ayurvedic medicine went back thousands of years.
You in the movie, you guys are sitting at his office, and he pulls out this scroll.
Yeah,
that's in Sanskrit, and how it's like thousands of years old, is it?
Yes, and he, you know, Sanskrit is a language that I think there's some renewal of interest in it because a lot of these ancient documents are written in Sanskrit. But you know, for him, it's like his first language. He reads it, he sings it. All of the treatments and recipes for the medicines and directions are in Sanskrit, and they're in poetry. So the doctors, healers would remember them by, you know, reciting them, by being able to sing them to... Because, you know, to begin with, they weren't all written down, but he has his family documents where all these beautiful poems are written down, thousands of them, dealing with everything from delivering babies to, you know, losing your memory to whatever. He can look up the ancient cure.
And then you ask him, it's a funny question, but it's a necessary one, I think. Do you ever take a photocopy of it or anything like that? And he just says no.
No, he's a very sweet man, and I met his family. He has quite an extended family. Part of the family is just dedicated to making medicines, and they make it in the ancient way with their hands and very crude tools. And you know, they're very aware of this new Western interest in Ayurvedic, and they're very aware that the pharmaceutical companies, of course, are circling in hopes of you know, learning some of the formulas, and they're worried that, you know, they'll be done partly correct and partly not, because there's a certain process to be kept. But so he keeps his documents quite close to himself and shares them with just people that he trusts.
And say, Anne, does this cost very much? I mean, take for example the treatment that you took for arthritis. How much does that run?
Oh, it was so reasonable. I'm trying to remember, but it was like something like for 3 weeks, treatments every day. It was under $500. It was, you know, we had place to sleep. They were, for me, for Babs, the place looked a bit worn down. For me, who, you know, I've been to India a lot, I'm used to the conditions there. It was very above average.
Huh.
Compared to lots of places I've gone to in old India. The new Ayurvedic spas are quite expensive, and there's hundreds on the net that people can look up. But this man still does a lot of work with Indian clients for nothing, because the tradition really was that you didn't charge anything. You were part of a community, and this was, if you had been given the knowledge, it was your privilege to share it, and you taught the people how to make the medicine that they needed for themselves. So it was a very different approach. And he still holds on to that tradition, and he really only charges those who can afford it, and what he charges is minimal. And just to have a long conversation with him is worth the trip.
Yeah. There's a moment in the movie where you ask yourself whether you should just put the camera down and be a friend rather than a filmmaker. How close did you get to that?
Well, that was always a struggle. I've not made a documentary for many years because I find that sort of process of making a film about somebody else's often misery or issue, or they're donating their life experiences, and I'm making a living from it, to be truthful. And so it's always been a big question for me, a moral question. I made a film about my father many years ago, who had been a prisoner in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and he died young. I didn't know him, and really the film called The War Story is about me in search of my father. And I took three men that had been with him in this prisoner of war camp, and he was their doctor, so they all felt like they owed him their lives. We went back to the camp where they were, for the longest time, a hard labor mining camp, and I realized on that trip that I had, brought these men back to something that they had spent their lives trying to forget, and it was a terrible experience for them. And in the end, I couldn't even film them, so I ended up doing some reenactments with the members of my crew playing the roles of prisoners. Because I couldn't actually turn my cameras on these men. They were going through such an emotional, recounting what they had lived through there. It was very private. And so that's why I haven't made documentaries for, 30 years now. And but here was a woman who understood wanted to take that risk of having a camera turned on her no matter what happened. So that's why I agreed to do it. But there was some point where you kind of go, well, our friendship is more important than getting this shot. But, her family became very involved and very encouraging, that, and they circled her, and I could see that she was well-supported and well-loved. That really, they also felt it was very important that I continue to film, as their mother had asked me to do, and had been very clear to them that she wanted me to do. So, in a way, I was embracing her in the way that she'd asked me to.
And some of the kids didn't want to be filmed at the outset, right?
Oh, none of them wanted to have anything to do with it. I mean, they'd been going through years of suffering with her, and they were very private people, and they had, issues in their own lives that they didn't want to talk about. So they'd been around film and filmmakers enough to know that was not a world they wanted to participate in. They supported her in everything she did, but they did not want to be in the film until we came back from India, and they understood through her emails and herself that she and I had become very close, and that this had become extremely important to her, and she wanted them to embrace the film and do whatever they could to help me make it.
And this is such a wonderful movie. I hope a lot of people see it, because they'll get to know your friend and see this remarkable journey. It's been a great pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
The website for more, annwheeler.com. Chi screens Thursday, the 3rd of October 2013 at 6:45 p.m. at SFE Woodward's, and then Sunday, the 6th of October, 1:20 p.m. at Tinseltown. It's director Ann Wheeler joined me on the line from her home in White Rock. British Columbia in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantum.